Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the End Time Tribune, covering breaking news and current events as it pertains to Bible prophecy, in effect, chronicling the coming of Christ the King. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the program. I am your host, Matthew Miller. It's good to be with you tonight, and it's especially good to get back on the End Time Tribune. I really always love this. First broadcast was May the 20th, 2010. Praise God, praise God. Lots and lots of water underneath the bridge, and so many things covered, so many things talked about here as far as the Bible is concerned, Bible prophecy is concerned. Really, truly exciting to do the End Time Tribune, just like I always did it, right where I started, and right now I'm doing it exactly how I did then. Literally, have my phone with my earbuds in, and I'm calling into the BTR switchboard. really is good to get back to it. So, donation in the church caused by, exclusively by the clergy, make no mistakes about it, it is the clergy that has scattered the sheep. It is the clergy that has created some 42,000 different denominations. So, it is of no surprise that we have an evolution of this term, Antichrist. And most Christians that have not been properly edified, instructed in how to look at these things for themselves via the Strong's Concordance, it really comes to quite a shock to them that that term, Antichrist, is nowhere in the zip code of either of the books that have always established Bible prophecy. Bible prophecy is established by two books, two pillars. Always has been, always will be. It's the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation. Neither one of those, in either of the languages God uses, because God uses both Hebrew and Koine Greek, just so you know. Not modern Hebrew, he uses biblical Hebrew and Koine Greek. In neither one of those languages, in neither one of those books, neither the Old Testament nor the New Testament, book of Revelation, contains the word Antichrist. It's not there. It's not there. It's quite simply not there. When you bark up this tree, you try to find out, okay, if all of end-time eschatology is based off of the entire timeline, is based off Daniel and Revelation, what do those two say? If they don't use that terminology for Antichrist, what do they say? Well, the best way to establish that is to go to Daniel and to see what it has to say. But take note, it's going to say things you don't want it to say, because if you've been entertained instead of edified, it's going to be quite confusing when Daniel starts talking about things when you've been taught for your entire life by people that you love and trusted. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, I understand. I understand if your dad, he was a dispensationalized rapturist, and he taught you your whole life that the tribulation was 7 years. No, it's not. If he taught you that the Antichrist was going to do this, that, and the other, no, he's not. It shouldn't surprise you. Should you be upset that I am going to contradict what your loved ones who taught you said? Of course not. I'm quite simply going to tell you what the Bible actually says, of which you already know. I'm not going to teach you anything tonight you don't already know. Because if you've studied anything about end time eschatology, and that's why you've come here, that's why you've did the search using your search engine for programs about Bible prophecy, programs about the end times. If you've done that, you've obviously already read Daniel, and there's no reason for me to read it for you again. So I'm going to do tonight exactly what your dad or whoever it was, your loved one who taught you about the end times, what they actually did, what they would actually do. They would tell you themselves. No, whatever the Bible says, if what I'm saying is going against what the Bible says, you go with what the Bible says. You know they would have told you this. You know that. And that is what I am resoundingly reminding you of. Throw away all the garbage. If you've got books written by somebody about eschatology, throw it away. Because I'm here to tell you, if that book goes on and on about what the Antichrist is going to do in the book of Revelation, it's garbage, throw it away. We all can establish this. Everybody knows about the little horn, right? Everybody ascribes to the Antichrist everything that is said about the little horn. This is a true statement, right? You can check this at a later time if you're not familiar with this concept at present moment. After this program, go look it up. Every single church on the planet says that the little horn is, in fact, the Antichrist. And we need to establish this. As far as history goes, Daniel was most perfectly predicting exactly what Antiochus Epiphanes did. It is Antiochus Epiphanes that is historically the little horn in Daniel. Yes, it is. We can prove, we have proven that. Okay? Historians have proven that. That's already an established fact. So you need to know that up front, which means I need to tell you something else. A dispensationalist and a preterist will never tell you that time is actually isochronal. That's what God says in the book of Ecclesiastes. He himself says that he, God, chases after that which has been. That's what he says, not me. He says that that which will be is that which has been done. No, that's what he says, not me. So this is why you hear some dispensationalists and some preterists talk about partial fulfillments to prophecy. No, that's garbage. What is true is that eschatology is isochronal. So the things talked about in Daniel about the little horn absolutely has already been historically proven to be talking about Antiochus Epiphanes. Take note. When it talks about three horns being uprooted by another horn, beyond contestation, that is Antiochus Epiphanes, because it was his brother that was supposed to ascend to the throne. And then it was his brother's two sons. Antiochus Epiphanes, of course, uprooted all three of the rightful heirs, his brother and his brother's two sons, which, of course, were his nephews. He uprooted all three of those, and he established himself as king himself. This is quite simply historical fact. It is beyond contestation, so you need to know that up front. If your Bible prophecy teacher has never taught you that, that the little horn is actually Antiochus Epiphanes. They haven't taught you that. Well, you should be concerned all your implements that you use for interpretation of Bible prophecy. They are obviously lacking. There is a point of contention in Daniel chapter 11, because starting in verse 36, it cannot be talking about Antiochus Epiphanes. But from verse 35 and previous, those are established historical fact. 36 of Daniel chapter 11 on, it's talking about what will happen in modernity, in the end times. What is modernity? It's modern times now. It is not talking about history from verse 36 on in Daniel chapter 11. You need to know that the little horn and what it is a part of is also mentioned in the first chapter of Zechariah. Once again, if you don't know that, the implements that you've been using to interpret Bible prophecy, so don't be surprised if you're going to hear things tonight that contradicts things that your loved ones and things that your Bible teachers and preachers said. Because if they did not know the things that I just talked about, it quite simply means that they were lacking in the implements they were using to interpret Bible prophecy. You need to know this. Not only is one of the implements you need to use being isochronology, another implement that is mandatory to be able to properly interpret Bible prophecy is the simple fact that Bible prophecy, believe it or not, it can mean more than one thing. It's polysemic. Bible prophecy is polysemic. I'll prove this to you. In the book of Revelation, John absolutely sees a lamb looking as if it had been slain. He is absolutely seeing a lamb looking as if it had been slain because the Lord Jesus Christ is the Passover lamb. And it also is the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, you know beyond any shadow of a doubt, God's word is polysemic. When it is talking about that lamb looking as if it had been slain, it is talking about the Passover lamb, and it's also talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's two implements that if you did not have before you listen to this program, you have no reason to be upset if I bring up information tonight that your loved ones did not necessarily know about. It's that they were lacking certain implements that is mandatory in interpreting Bible prophecy. Those are just two. We're going to systematically go through this. It is very important that we hearken to what it is that God's saying. So we're going to start in Daniel chapter 7. This is where the horns start. It's in 7 and 8. So we're going to have to take a look at these. We have to. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head while on his bed. And then he wrote down the dream, telling the main facts. Daniel spoke, saying, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea. And four great beasts come up from the sea, each different from another. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I watched until its wings were plucked off, and it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand on 2 feet like a man. And a man's heart was given to it. And suddenly another beast, a second like a bear. It was raised on one side and had three ribs in its mouth between its teeth. And they said to it, arise, devour much flesh. After this, I looked, and there was another like a leopard, which had on its back four wings of a bird. The beast also had four heads, and dominion was given to it. After this, I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, exceedingly strong. It had huge iron teeth. It was devouring, breaking in pieces, and trampling the residue with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I was considering the horns, and there was another horn, a little one, coming up among them, before whom three of the first horns were plucked out by the roots. And there, in this horn, were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking pompous words. This is the first mention of the little horn. And take note, these four beasts are all incorporated into a single beast in the book of Revelation. And most people fail to put these together. So we are going to have to take time to point this out right now. This is not a side issue. This is the same beast. But here it says the final form. So take note. Revelation chapter 3. Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on its horn 10 crowns, and on its heads a blasphemous name. Now, the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and its feet were like the feet of a bear, and its mouth the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and throne and great authority. And I saw one of the heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And the whole world marveled and followed the beast, so they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like the beast and who is able to make war with him? Now take note. This is saying that all four of the beast from Daniel, they are conquered by the final fourth beast and incorporated into it. That's why it said, what? This one beast had the leopard, the bear, and the lion incorporated into it. And take note, this is why the book of Daniel did not give you a description for this last one, because Daniel couldn't tell what the head was like, because it was mangled. Why? Book of Revelation just explained to you why he couldn't tell what sort of animal it was, because it had a deadly wound. It was mangled. Its head was mangled. So take note. He is telling you that the little horn is one of those horns on the beast from the book of Revelation. That's what it's saying. So when you realize that, it's imperative that you understand that there's going to be four beasts that arise in the end times. And in the great tribulation, it will be one beast that engulfs the entire planet. One beast will control all of them. One beast will get authority over the other three beasts. That's what this is saying. So take note. Let's go back to Daniel and see where it talks again about this. So take note, an event happens in Daniel chapter 7, verses 9 and 10. That's the great day of the Lord, by the way. That is the sixth seal event. Just make a note of that. So picking it up in verse 11, I watched then because the sound of the pompous words which the horn was speaking. See, here it's not called a little horn. Now it has prominence. It's the horn. It's a horn. So I was watching in the night. Oh, I'm sorry. The pompous words which the horn was speaking, I watched until the beast was slain and its body destroyed and given to the burning flame. Now, we know what that is. We know that's at the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is it that is captured and bound and thrown into the lake of fire before the millennial reign of Christ. That is the beast and his false prophet. That's the beast and the false prophet. Verse 12, as for the rest of the beast, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season of time. You know what this season of time is. We already talked about it. So this final beast takes authority over the other three beasts he just told you about, and they exist for the length of the Great Tribulation. The book of Revelation says multiple times how long that is. It's 1,260 days, it's 42 months, and it's time and half a time. It's 3.5 years of perfect months made up of 30 days apiece. That's what this is saying. That's what it always said. It always said this. So take note. We've got a whole lot more to talk about here. No doubt about it. Okay? When we go down to verse 15, the angel interprets this. And he's going to give you exceedingly great details. Okay? So, this is what happens. Okay? So, the angel tells Daniel this, picking up in verse 17. Those great beasts, which are four kings which will arise out of the earth. It just said the whole planet was going to be quartered. It just said in the end time, there's going to be a quartering of this planet. And I can give you a rough approximation of what that is right now. You have the West, right? You have the West. That includes United States, Great Britain, France, the West. We're known as the West. Number two, China. Number three, the East, which is Russia. And number four, the Muslim countries. Beyond contestation, this planet is ran by those four entities. But take note, this verse just said that four kings would arise and control the entire planet. There wasn't 10, not 20. It said, are four kings which arise out of the earth. Verse 18, but the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever and ever. Verse 19, then I wish to know the truth about the fourth beast, which was different from all the others, exceedingly dreadful, with its teeth of iron and its nails of bronze, which devoured broken pieces and trampled the residue, which is feet, and the 10 horns that were on its head, and the other horn which came up before which three fell, namely the horn which had the eyes and a mouth which spoke pompous words, whose appearance was greater than his fellows. I was watching, and the same horn was making war against the saints and prevailing against them until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was made in the favor of the saints the Most High, and the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom. So what is this saying? It's saying exactly what Matthew chapter 24 states. It's saying exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ said. There is a time before the Great Tribulation called the birth pain. And during the birth pains, he's going to be able to throttle Christ's church. But then it says the great day of the Lord will happen, and he's going to step in, and from that point forward, you will possess a kingdom. That's exactly what Revelation chapter 7 states. Revelation chapter 7 in the Greek uses the word tabernacle. Tabernacle. Doesn't say temple. You're supposed to know what that means. You are going to be taken to a place that's been prepared for you by God. Revelation chapter 12. So, during the time of the Great Tribulation, you will have, I'm going to tell you exactly what Revelation chapter 7 says. After the great day of the Lord, God the Father is going to stretch his tabernacle over you, and you're going to be good from that point forward. However, We need to keep reading. Verse 23. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom on earth, which shall be different from all other kingdoms and shall devour the whole earth, trample and break it in pieces. The ten horns are ten kings who shall arise from this kingdom, and another shall arise after them. He shall be different from the first ones and shall subdue three kings. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change times and law. Then the saints shall be given into his hand for times, time, and half a time. But the court shall be seated, and they shall take away his dominion to consume it and destroy it forever. Then the kingdom and dominion, with the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven, shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. This is an end of the account. As for me, Daniel, my thoughts were greatly troubled, me and my countenance changed, but I kept the matter in my heart. This is saying some difficult things. You do need to know this. There are two groups in the end times, one being the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, which after the great day of the Lord, what this just said, you're going to be taken to the tabernacle. Bible prophecy calls this particularly the tabernacle of David. It's where you're at before the millennial reign of Christ. You're protected in this private place. However, most notably, the leaders of the church, that would be the clergy, the bad shepherds, God states repeatedly in Bible prophecy that there's going to be a slaughter of the shepherds because they have mismanaged his church. They are left out in the outer darkness. They're left out in the tribulation, of which you know what happens to them. They are sealed by God in the first part of Revelation chapter 7, and this is why they can't take the mark of the beast. So at the end of Revelation, in Revelation chapter 20, at the return of Christ, they have been beheaded, and they come back to life, but they don't get to be the bride of Christ. They have to administrate the kingdom. Look this up, Revelation chapter 20. These are those of the first resurrection. They don't get to be the bride of Christ. They have to be over and administrate the kingdom. So take note. This chapter is talking about two different groups, and you're one or the other. You don't want to be the lot of the bad shepherds. Because like I said, write this down, slaughter of the shepherds. Maranatha Ministries has done a series of programs on that, documenting the simple fact that you don't want to be a clergy. You really don't. You really don't. So we've learned a whole lot now about why Revelation chapter 13 said there was 10 horns and yada, yada, yada. This just explained to you that this fourth beast was going to rise up and devour the other three. When it does, when it absorbs it, it takes on this form that we see in Revelation chapter 13. It takes on parts of it look like the leopard, parts of it looks like a lion, and parts of it looks like a bear. So, take note. What you've heard so far about the Antichrist, now you know why, especially in the book of Revelation, it talks about the ten kings on more than one occasion. And these very ten kings was defined in Daniel chapter 7. We just read it. Revelation chapter 17, verse 12. The ten horns which you saw are ten kings who have received no kingdoms as yet, but they receive authority for 1 hour as kings with the beast. These are of one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast. These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, for he is the Lord of lords and King of kings. And those who are with him are called chosen and faithful. In Revelation chapter 19, verse 16, it also talks about how the Lord Jesus Christ defeats these kings. okay? So you need to know that. You need to know that. That the little horn is one of these horns. Yes, one of these horns. So let's move on to Daniel chapter 8. Because here has a whole lot more information about horns, but it's no different. He talks about it a different way. You're going to take note that he says that the whole planet, once again, is divided into four horns. That's exactly what it says. And you need to know why it says this. I'm going to just cut to the chase for you. This prophecy says most painfully, one of these is Persia and one of these are Greece. The kingdom that conquers the whole planet is Greece, because the entire planet has been Hellenized. Write that down. Hellenized. What does Hellenized mean? If you are in a liberal democracy, you've been Hellenized. If you didn't know that, if you didn't know that the reason why the Roman Empire, after it was so successful, was because the Romans had been Hellenized, I really don't know what to tell you, because the Romans utilized Koinonia Greek for their empire, not Latin. You need to know that. Rome did the same exact thing that the Persians did. When the Romans took over, they should have instituted Latin as their lingua franca. They did not. Just like the Persians kept the tongue of the Chaldeans. They kept Babylon, the Babylonian tongue, Aramaic, however you want to say it, Chaldee. They kept it as the language of the kingdom instead of switching it to Persians. But Romans did the same thing. That's why your Bible is written in Koinonia Greek. You need to understand that, yes, this is talking about when Alexander the Great defeated the Persians, but this is also implemented into isochronal eschatology. There's not a partial fulfillment in Antiochus Epiphanes. No. That's not what this is saying. This is going to happen again in the end time on a global scale. When this happened the first time, of course, Alexander's kingdom was divided up amongst his four generals. This is not a partial fulfillment. No. This is isochronal eschatology. You've already told by the angel. You've already been told. Remember, this is the next chapter. This is chapter 8. This is after chapter 7. So you're already supposed to know that in the end times, the entire planet is going to be divided up. That's what this is going to say again. So I'm not going to read all of this. There's no reason for me to. Let's start in verse 5 of Daniel chapter 8. Now, I was considering, suddenly a male goat came up from the west across the surface of the whole earth without touching the ground, and the goat had a notable horn between its eyes. And when it came to the ram that had two horns, which I had seen standing beside the river, and ran at him with furious power. And I saw him confronting the ram, and he was moved with great rage against him, attacked the ram, and broke his two horns. There was no power in the ram to withstand him, but he cast him down to the ground and trampled him, and there was none that could deliver the ram from his hand. Take note, this is describing the trampling down with the feet, exactly which what was mentioned in the previous chapter about the fourth beast. Let us continue in verse 8. Therefore, the male goat grew very great, but when he became strong, the large horn was broken, and in its place four notable ones come up toward the four winds of heaven. And out of one of them came a little horn, which grew exceedingly great toward the south, toward the east, toward the glorious land. And it grew up to the host of heaven and cast down some of the host and some of the stars to the ground and trampled them. He even exalted himself as high as the prince of the host. And by him the daily sacrifices were taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down. Because of transgression, an army was given over to the horn to oppose the daily sacrifice, and he cast truth to the ground. He did all this and prospered. Then I heard a holy one speaking to another holy one that said to the certain one that was speaking, how long will the vision be concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation, the giving of both the sanctuary and the host to be trampled underfoot? And he said to me, for 2,300 days, then the sanctuary shall be cleansed. Take note, it just mentioned the abomination of desolation. It just told you the birth pains is going to last 2,300 days. Now, fortunately, we know why Ezra chapter 6, verse 15 says what it says. Now we know why. Did I take you by surprise? If I did, please get something to write with and something to write on. Ezra chapter 6, verse 15. Now the temple was finished on the third day of the month of Adar, which is the sixth year of the reign of King Darius. You need to know that's the length of time under the reign of King Darius to build the second temple. It is over 6 years. That's 2,300 days. And what is going to finish this time, Daniel just told you, it's going to be the abomination of desolation. Jesus Christ told you the exact same thing in Matthew 24. And you need to know that it is the little horn that does this thing. It is the little horn that does it. So, dropping down in chapter 8, as Gabriel's given the interpretation to the vision, take note. What does it say? It says, in the latter time of the... This is the end time. This is the end time. In the end time, okay, when the transgressions have reached their fullness, a king shall rise having fierce features, who understands sinister schemes. His power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. He shall destroy fearfully and shall prosper and thrive. He shall destroy the mighty and also the holy people. Through his cunning, he shall cause deceit to prosper under his rule. He shall exalt himself in his heart. He shall destroy many in their prosperity. He shall even rise against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without human means. And the vision of the evening and mornings, which is told me, is true. Therefore, seal up the vision, for it refers to many days in the future. So now we have a whole bunch of information about the little horn. The question is the little horn the Antichrist? All of you right now, you know, you've been told that it's the Antichrist that's going to do all this stuff, right? So from here, we're going to go to the final chapter that I talked about before, where the little horn talked about. Matter of fact, this is an answer to what we just read about in the latter times. This was going to happen. Now remember, I've already said this. There's no reason for me to talk about the first 35 verses of Daniel chapter 11. The historians have already proved this happened. The problem is that the wars mentioned here, past verse 35, never historically happened. That's not what happened. So from verse 40 on, Antiochus Epiphanes never did those things. So now we're going to look forward. Do these verses talk about the Antichrist? Verse 36. Then the king shall do according to his own will. This is exactly what Daniel chapter 8 just said he was going to do. He's going to exercise his own will and authority and would prosper in doing it. So you know this is talking about the little horn. You know it is. Then the king shall do according to his will. He shall exalt and magnify himself above every god, shall speak blasphemies against the God of God, and shall prosper till the wrath has been accomplished, for what has been determined shall be done. This you know about the Antichrist, right? Right? You know the Antichrist is going to do this. He will set himself up as God, right? That's what the Antichrist does. Let's read the next verse. Verse 37. He shall regard neither God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any God, for he shall exalt himself above them all. You know, beyond any shadow of a doubt, now it's coming out and telling you, for one, he is a man, and he is born from fathers. Take note. This is not using the same phraseology as is spoken of the Lord Jesus Christ. This doesn't mention anything other than he has fathers. Let's read verse 38. I'm just pointing that out to you. He obviously is a man, this little horn. Verse 38. But in their place he shall honor a God of fortresses and a God which his fathers did not know. He shall honor with gold and silver, with precious stones and pleasant things. Thus he shall act against the strongest fortresses with a foreign God, which he shall acknowledge and advance its glory, and he shall cause them to rule over many and divide the land for gain. Stop the bus. The Antichrist never does this. Antichrist never all of a sudden says that somebody else is God. No, the Antichrist does not do that. That is the false prophet. It's the false prophet that does this. What this just said was, we need to go to Revelation, and it's telling us who your Antichrist is. So we get this so far. This is saying that the little horn will make everybody worship a God of fortresses after, now listen, after he's proclaimed himself to be God. Something happens and he switches. Then he makes everybody worship this God of fortresses. If we go to the book of Revelation and read what it says there in Revelation chapter 13, you will be told exactly who the Antichrist is. Is it the little horn? Because so far, this has talked about the little horn. Okay? This is very easy to do. The little horn can only be one of the entities. In Revelation chapter 3, there's two entities. There's the beast from the sea, and there's the beast from the earth. There's just two beasts here. The little horn can only be one. It can only be one. Revelation chapter 13. I've already read this first part, and take note. Take note. It is the fourth beast that have conquered the other three beasts. Now it's in control of the whole, it's in control of the whole planet. And it's in control of the whole planet for the whole duration of the tribulation, which is 42 months, which is 1,260 days, which is 3.5 years. During which time, he takes the clergy, which has been sealed in Revelation chapter 7, and beheads them. And they do not get to be a part of the bride of Christ. They have to be in charge of running the kingdom of Christ. So they're not the bride of Christ. Let's read this. I have enough time to read the first four verses again. Take note. There's two beasts here. The little horn can only be one of them. The question is the little horn what you call the Antichrist. Is it or not? Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and on his horns ten crowns, and on his head a blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard, his feet was like the feet of a bear, and his mouth was like the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded. And its deadly wound was healed, and all the world marveled and followed the beast. So they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like the beast who is able to make war with him? Let me stop right now. Of course this beast has seven heads, because what did Daniel say in Daniel chapter 7? The bear had one head, right? The lion had one head. The leopard had four heads, and then one of the heads was mangled. That's why this beast has seven heads. That's why it's a chimera of the other three beasts. It's a chimera of the other three beasts in Daniel chapter 1. Let's go on. Verse 5. And he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And he was given authority to continue for 42 months. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle. Take note, there's tabernacle again, not temple. So he's blaspheming the tabernacle of David that you've been taken to in Revelation chapter 7. He's blaspheming that tabernacle and those who dwell in heaven. It was granted him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority was given to him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, and those whose names have not been written in the book of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. He who leads into captivity shall go into captivity, and he who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Verse 11, here's another beast. This beast is not mentioned in Daniel. It's not one of the four beasts. Okay, so this first beast from the sea, that's the chimera of the four beasts in Daniel chapter 7. Anyway, verse 11, then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. Verse 13. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by the signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling all who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. And he was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast so that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many that would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except the one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, which is the number of the man. His number is 666. Take note. What did this say? Verse 12. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast. This is saying that the God of fortresses that the little horn makes everybody worship, this is saying it's the first beast. That's what this is saying. It's saying that the little horn is the beast from the earth. It's saying that the little horn is a false prophet. Yes. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Daniel chapter 11, verse 38. But in their place he shall honor a god of fortresses, a god which his fathers did not know. He shall honor with gold and silver, with precious stones and pleasant things. Thus he shall act against the strongest fortresses with a foreign god, which he shall acknowledge and advance its glory. How does he advance its glory? He advances its glory because he makes an image that's of this god of fortresses and makes everybody worship it. Not only that, he gives life to the image of this god of fortresses, this beast. And shall cause them to rule over many and divide the land for gain. This is categorically saying that the little horn is not the Antichrist. It's saying that the little horn is the false prophet. What you call the Antichrist is the beast that is a chimera made up of the four beasts in Daniel chapter 7. This beast from the sea here is the little horns, god of fortresses. Because this god of fortresses, this beast from the sea, it never has anybody worship anything else. Categorically, you can prove this in a court of law. The little horn is the beast from the earth, and it is emphatically a man. It's a man. Take note. Let me point this out again in Daniel chapter 11. Verses 36 through 39. It says, neither the god of his fathers, verse 38, and the god which his fathers, this little horn is a man. He's a man. We can take this one further. We can take this one further. Whether you like it or not, there's a whole lot more in the Bible, God's holy word, than most people talk about or teach. And that's just quite simply the fact of the matter. It's just quite simply the way it is. There is so much more here given in the scripture than anyone could ever. You all need to know the phraseology here in Greek. The phraseology here in Greek, ladies and gentlemen, is exactly the phraseology spoken of here about the beast from the earth. This exact phraseology in Greek is used during the diatribe with King Saul and the witch of Endor in 1 Samuel chapter 28 is the same thing. In Greek, it's the same phraseology. And you need to understand that this rising from the earth is exactly spoken. I'll read it to you in the Septuagint. 1 Samuel chapter 28, verse 13. And the king said to her, fear not, tell me, whom hast you seen? And the woman said to him, I saw gods coming up out of the earth. And the next verse, and he said to her, what didst thou discover? And she said to him, an erect man coming up from the earth. He had the mantle thrown around him, so Saul knew that this was Samuel, and he bowed down to his face to the ground and made obeisance to him. This exact phrase is used concerning the beast from the earth. take note that this little horn was interrupted, and I pointed that out to you, even though I did not read it, from Daniel chapter 7. It plainly dictates to you that verses 9 and 10 of Daniel chapter 7 is the great day of the Lord. And after that happens, what happens? Verse 11, I watched because the sound of the pompous words which the horn was speaking, this switchover comes at the sixth seal, which is the great day of the Lord. Those being all side issues, we need to understand that we have determined this beyond contestation. The little horn is the beast from the earth, and that is the false prophet. The little horn is not what everybody calls the Antichrist. What everybody calls the Antichrist is the little horn's God of fortresses. It is the chimeric beast from Daniel chapter 7 that becomes a chimera as it takes over the entire planet. Person that is the tip of the spear of that beast is the false prophet. If this program edified you, please share it. Share it. Spread the news. Spread the news. If you want more information, by all means, you can basically find me two different places. You can find me on Facebook, Matthew Miller 1260, and you can find me at patreon.com/Matthew Miller. If this program edified you, pass it on and edify other people. One thing is for sure. You can obviously prove this in a court of law. The little horn is not what everybody's calling the Antichrist. The little horn is the false prophet. And what everybody calls the Antichrist is the beast from the sea that is a chimera of the four beasts of Daniel chapter 7. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, God bless, Godspeed.